Protégé Podcast, the career advice, inspiration, and truth you need for your career journey.
Hi, my name is Jordan. You should listen to my dad's podcast. Bye.
I'm Rory Verrett. Welcome to Protégé Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope everyone had a relaxing and wonderful 4th of July weekend. My family went down to North Carolina to see my mom, sister, brother-in-law, and nephew. Had a chance to go to a water park, which was fun, and spend time with our friends Shay and Javanya Lewis. Shout out to Shay and Javanya for their wonderful hospitality and the great fireworks show we saw in their backyard. You know, I see everybody on social media with your vacations, and it's just so wonderful to see folks in Aruba, the Virgin Islands, Destin and Naples in Florida, folks in California, and many people starting their vacations in one of my favorite places, Martha's Vineyard. So be safe and enjoy the summer. It's my favorite time of year. Today on the podcast, our second episode in our series, Pivot to Purpose. In our first episode, we heard from Erica Watson, the management consultant turned education advocate who turned a layoff into a launchpad for the next phase of her career. Erica made a pivot to purpose and networked and networked and networked some more until she landed a dream opportunity at an education foundation. On today's episode, I'm talking with Kwame Somphimpong, a brilliant young business leader who works for the leadership development organization Management Leadership for Tomorrow, MLT. Kwame manages the Africa Business Fellowship. The Africa Business Fellowship is a partnership between Econet, the African Leadership Network, and MLT, and it matches young American business professionals with paid, you heard that, paid six-month placements in African companies. We are discussing this fellowship as part of our Pivot to Purpose series because a mid-career professional fellowship can be an interesting tool in your career to help you pivot to purpose. Now look, it's perfectly fine to think about a pivot from the private sector to the nonprofit sector, or to think about going from corporate to entrepreneurship, or to even think about moving within your company between departments. Maybe you want to go from HR to finance or from finance to marketing. That's a great way to pivot to purpose. But I also want to encourage many of you to think globally, to think internationally about your career and about your pivot, and think about working overseas or even in some cases, relocating overseas. And the Africa Business Fellowship and programs like this can be great tools to help you pivot to purpose. We talk about the fellowship and how you can apply in a moment. I want to give a shout out to new listeners in Tokyo, Japan, Orlando, Florida, and Edgartown, Massachusetts. That last place, Edgartown, means that someone is tuning in to Protégé Podcast while they are very likely on vacation on Martha's Vineyard, and well, that just makes me happy. I also want to give a shout out to our client at Protégé Search, Freddie Mac, the mortgage and financial services company here in DC. We are leading a vice president for diversity search for Freddie Mac, and I want to encourage you to consider the more than 200 positions available at freddiemac.jobs. Please log on to freddiemac.jobs for current opportunities at a company with a strong commitment to diversity and inclusion. So up next on Protégé Podcast, the second episode in our series, Pivot to Purpose, Working in Africa's Private Sector. I'm so thrilled to welcome the Protégé Podcast, and you cannot believe the story of how we met, Kwame Somphimpong, who is the manager of the Africa Business Fellowship at Management Leaders for Tomorrow. He's going to tell you all about that. It's part of our series, Pivot to Purpose. Kwame, welcome to Protégé Podcast.
Thank you so much, Rory. I mean, you're too, way too kind, and I'm just thrilled. I'm a fan of the show, and I'm just thrilled to be able to, you know, be speaking with you on the show.
All right, Kwame. So let me tell the story of how we met, because I still can't believe this. I mean, this is a podcast I started about 15 months ago, and I am, you know, doing work with Protégé Search. I'm interviewing a candidate in downtown Bethesda, and a young man stops by and says, "Hey, you're Rory Verrett from Protégé Podcast." And I was like, okay, who's punking me? It's one of my golf buddies or somebody punking me. And it was you. And I was so flattered. You were a listener to the show, and we connected. And then I heard a bit more about your background and said, man, you have to be on the show to talk about what you do. But first, let's talk about your own pivot to purpose. This is our theme for July, about people who've moved into new opportunities that more reflected their values and their passion and their purpose in their career. And we're providing some techniques and some tips for how people can do that. But tell us about your own pivot to purpose.
Absolutely. I'd be remiss if I, you know, didn't chime in too. And just, you know, I'm so glad we met on the street. Shout out to Julian Jones for
Julian Jones connected me to everybody.
Recommending the podcast to me. But yeah, I mean, I definitely have had my, you know, my own pivot. It's really kind of spanned a decade plus. I was in school and in high school and wrote this poem and really had a vision while writing it of me being a bridge between the U.S. and Africa.
Wow.
And over the years, getting into my career, going to graduate school, I worked across a number of industries, primarily in the nonprofit world mm-hmm. and the political world, and got this incredible opportunity to kind of reconnect with that original poem to be a bridge between the U.S. and Africa, and working at the Africa Business Fellowship. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the story is being written as we speak, and I'm really excited to see how this continues on.
So was it on your pivot? Was it that you found the work you were doing unfulfilling, or was it this tug at you that just didn't go away? It just, the voice that wouldn't be silenced. I mean, what eventually said, you know what I'm doing right now is cool, but I really need to pivot toward this being an honest broker, being a business dealer between the U.S. and Africa?
Sure. It was really, I really tried to take an entrepreneurial approach to my career early on, where I saw value in each opportunity that I was able to take advantage of, and was really looking for, okay, what is the tie back to Africa? Like, where could I identify, you know, what I'm learning, the skills that I'm developing in this work, and apply it to whatever I do in the future on the African continent? And that really carried me from opportunity to opportunity.
Wow. See, this is what I tell people. I tell people that we sometimes dismiss some of our literally childish notions and our dreams that we ultimately have to pay homage to. Those voices are not going to be silenced unless you have some exigent circumstance where you've got to put that aside. It's almost always in some way important for you to pay homage to that voice. You don't have to quit your job and be an entrepreneur, but you have to incorporate that in some way into your life. And just like you, I look back on stuff I did in high school, stuff I did in college, that is a prologue to what I'm doing now. So that's a great story about your own pivot to purpose. Let's talk about the Africa Business Fellowship. And the reason we have you on the show, Kwame, is because there aren't a lot of mid-career professional fellowships. Sometimes it seems like the opportunities to travel just dry up when you hit 30. You can't do the Rotary Fellowship. You can't do any of the other professional fellowships. Tell us about the Africa Business Fellowship and what its ultimate purpose is as a fellowship program.
Absolutely. I'm so excited about this fellowship for the very reason that you mentioned, with it being kind of on an island to some extent on its own in terms of the type of candidate that it attracts. And and its purpose is incredible. Really, we're trying to build this pipeline of American business leaders, people we see working in the C-suite across corporate America, and providing an incredible opportunity for them to get tangible experience doing business in an African country.
Wow.
For a period of time, and they're getting, you know, high level experience and able to bring that back to their careers here in the US. And I'm really excited about it.
All right, so let's drill down on that. I am a director at Boeing, and I'm interested in spending 3 to 6 months at a company in Africa. Do I have to get my company, do I have to get Boeing to sponsor me? Is it a paid fellowship? How long do I stay? What kind of companies are you placing people at? Tell us more about the specific aspects of the program.
Right. So we have candidates, people who participate in the fellowship from a range of careers, people, you know, at a director level, people, you know, coming out of business school. For those who are in their careers, you know, we work with them to have a conversation with their organization to see if they can arrange a leave of absence to take time 3 or 6 months to go work for a top company on the continent. You know, we're looking for people who have at least 4 years of work experience and or a graduate degree. Over the past 2 years that we've been running the fellowship, the average years of experience have been between 6 years and 10 years of work experience. And these are people who are rock stars, people who, you know, in their careers have demonstrated that, you know, they get things done, they're scrappy, they are able to adapt to situations that may be fluid. And that's really kind of the type of person we want for the fellowship, to really make sure that we can find a good fit for them to work at a company. We want people who also have demonstrated that they're interested in doing business on the African continent. So that what that looks like is, you know, perhaps you read a lot of articles, or you are going to conferences, or perhaps you've already started something in terms of engaging with business on the continent. So the mix of those types of characteristics is what we're looking for in a candidate.
And on the continent, give us a example of the types of companies that these American executives are being placed at.
So it's a pretty amazing, you know, range of companies. We've had fellows work at GE Africa. We've had fellows work at Safaricom, a large telecom company based in Kenya, that is really taken over market share in terms of telephony in the country, but also has been a leader globally in the mobile money space.
Wow.
And we've had, you know, large companies like that, but we've also had household names like Thomson Reuters. We've also had a range of startups as well, some of the hottest on the continent, Hotels NG, Duma Works, based in Kenya. Hotels NG is based in Nigeria. We've had a fellow work for a company called Atlas Mara, which is a investment holding company that is seeking to be the largest bank across the continent. We've had a fellow work for Dangote, which is really the largest conglomerate on the continent and run by the richest man in Africa. So,
wow.
You know, the range of companies and the caliber of companies is top notch. And I'd be remiss to not mention our primary partner and sponsor, Econet, which is also a company that our fellows work at. Mm-hmm. Econet is a, you know, massive company that, you know, has its roots in the telecom space, but has, you know, tentacles in a range of other industries as well, led by Strive Masiwa, who really, you know, came up with the idea for the Africa Business Fellowship.
Wow. So if you are coming out of business school and you've got some strong experience and a great track record and you're interested in the startup world, maybe you don't have to go to Silicon Valley or Silicon Alley in New York. Maybe you should look to the continent, is what you're saying, because there are startup opportunities with this fellowship.
Absolutely. I mean, the type of work that our startup host companies are doing is incredible. This year, we have a fellow working with One Finance in Nigeria. They're really trying to change the game in terms of mobile lending in the country. Mm. Our fellow there is a rock star. He graduated from college with a 4.0, went off to do, to be an equity analyst on Wall Street. He knows the kind of financial technology space extremely well, and he's going there to help the company prepare to raise money, to think about expansion to other countries. We've got another fellow serving as interim CEO at another startup, mm-hmm. and also in Nigeria, where the startup's called Cafe Neo. They want to be kind of the Starbucks of Africa, and she's going in to really add a lot of value to prepare the company for that next level of growth. So it's definitely an opportunity outside of Silicon Valley and Silicon Alley.
Amazing. So let's take our friend Julian Jones, our mutual friend, who is married, has a young child. He's a star performer at GlaxoSmithKline. He's got a great background educationally out of Emory University. Julian's probably thinking, man, I just had a baby. I can't move to Africa for 6 months. Give us a sense of what the experience is like. I mean, most of these people, it sounds like, are going to be in their 30s. So they're probably newly married, starting families. How do you make that work going to Africa for 6 months on a personal side?
Absolutely. So each fellow takes their own approach, really, to how they structure their personal life on the continent, but we work with them as much as possible to make their desires work for them. So we have two fellows this year who have their families, spending significant time with them on the continent with multiple children. We have another fellow whose wife is joining him on the continent as well. And this, really helps because you're in a new environment. You're having to hustle and to learn a new marketplace and kind of make a space for the value you would like to add at the company you're working for. So, we definitely work hard to make sure that our fellows are able to, if they have families, have them with them.
And what are some of the reviews coming back from the fellows about their experience?
Absolutely. So, it's been pretty incredible to watch the impact of the fellowship on the fellows. So, just looking at the first year of the fellowship, we had about half of the fellows get full-time offers from their host companies.
Wow.
They added a ton of value. I was just on the phone with a couple of fellows earlier this week, alums, I should say, from last year. And one of them is a manager at Deloitte. Mm-hmm. And he was promoted soon after returning to Deloitte. And he's back on the continent leading a case for Deloitte in Tanzania. And and talking to him, he's like, without ABF, I wouldn't have had this opportunity. Mm. And a number of alums have also said just how this has really impacted the trajectory for their careers. We have a fellow who's really a leader in the healthcare space, and mm-hmm. she's taken time off to travel across the continent to really take a closer look at what's the healthcare landscape in each of these mm-hmm. countries, so she can hopefully identify opportunities where she could kind of take the value that she'd like to add to another level. Mm-hmm. It's been mm-hmm. pretty amazing.
So demystify some of the false stereotypes people might have about what an experience like this might entail. I imagine folks are going to think, wow, it's really far. I'm going to be cut off and I can't get back to the States to see my family, or I'll miss out on big milestones with my family and friends. Or are there security concerns in some of these countries? And I mean, give us a sense of some of those practical issues and demystify them for potential applicants.
Absolutely. So being away from family can be tough, but there's a track record of fellows taking a weekend, coming back to see children, spend some time with them, and go back to the continent to continue working. Mm-hmm. And really a lot of that is, you know, conversations with their host company. Mm-hmm. and us wherever needed helping with those conversations. And in terms of, you know, concerns about security and the like, as we really try to coach our fellows on what the landscape will be, mm-hmm. in their respective countries, and, you know, we really don't want to put them in a position where they are not safe. And, you know, what's nice about doing business across the continent is that we have incredible partners. Mm-hmm. One of our, amongst the partnership that makes up the Africa Business Fellowship, is the African Leadership Network, where, mm-hmm. it's made up of some of the top business leaders across the continent. So there's a network that the fellows can tap into in each country, mm. to best practices on how do I keep myself safe, where are the best places to go. We make sure that the fellows are living in good housing, and all of that together really makes sure that the fellows have a good experience in the countries they're working in.
And I want to put some of this on the Americans, because, you know, we can go abroad and act a plum fool. So, I mean, what are some things we should think about culturally to assimilate into the culture well, to bridge that cultural learning curve and leave some of the Americanness that isn't appropriate for this experience back in America?
Absolutely. So the biggest thing that really helps people succeed is having a sense of humility, mm. and really being intentional about listening and, you know, soaking up as much information as possible about how do I comport myself in the various countries in which I'll be working. That humility I really can't overstate, like, mm-hmm. how important that is. And because it just opens the door for honest conversations and people being willing to help you as much as possible. And I would really kind of boil it down to, you know, starting with, you know, conditioning yourself, or, you know, committing to, you know, being humble, mm-hmm. and opening yourself to advice and help, and, you know, really kind of the rest snowballs from there.
Kwame, where can listeners find more information about the Africa Business Fellowship?
If listeners go to www.africabusinessfellowship.com, they'll see a really nice site that has video that they can watch about what the experience the alums had from last year, and they'll be able to get more information. They're at the bottom, they'll be able to sign up to get a nice brochure that gives a bit more information about the fellowship, and they will see the button where they can press apply. And I would love to see their applications across social media. They can search for Africa Business Fellowship on Twitter. We're at Africa Fellows, and, you know, those social media platforms are really helpful in terms of getting business information in general. We try to keep a steady stream of the latest news about what's happening on the continent. When I'll be interviewing listeners after they submit their applications, I'll definitely be looking to hear, you know, how much research have they done about, you know, what's happening in terms of the business landscape across the continent. So that's definitely key.
Kwame Som-Pimpong is the manager of the Africa Business Fellowship at Management Leadership for Tomorrow, MLT. And he's also my new friend and a longtime listener of Protégé Podcast. Thank you so much for your time listening to the show, my brother, and for dropping the knowledge here on Protégé Podcast.
Rory, this was such a treat. I really appreciate you having me on the show, and I'm excited about a new budding friendship.
Thank you for tuning in to Protégé Podcast. Please check us out on social media at Protégé Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, and let us know your thoughts on topics we can cover on the next Protégé Podcast.